Everyone, welcome to the Casey Catch Up. This is, I guess, a special edition. Cooey wants to interview me, and I guess a good way to debrief from the Hawaiian racing, and also, But yeah, I hand it over to Josh.
Hello, everyone. Yeah, this is a different one, but I really wanted to interview James just because, firstly, I wasn't there this year to experience it. So I really wanted to hear firsthand what it was like on the ground as a competitor. And also, as James being the defending champ of the M2O, I just wanted to know what it was like this year. So let's start off with how was your training before the Padalamua? So I know you were training a lot back home in Sydney. And you went maybe a week before the Padalamua to get some runs in at the Mileto. Tell me, how was your experience? And yeah.
Yeah, I guess training, I think, has taken a new meaning after this year's racing, because what we were doing as training was like downwind runs and like on water foiling. And I think I would say my training was perfect for that sort of stuff. Like the Mileto runs were fun. We managed to test out a bunch of different gear. I used foils as big as a 960R and as small as a 680R. And I guess everything in between. And yeah, everything was feeling good. Speeds were good. Conditions weren't epic. They were good, but they weren't epic. Probably the best run we had was an AB's run over on Oahu. We got a really fun run with Hobie and Ryan. And oh, that AB's to China Wall was insane. The boys are calling it a 10 out of 10. And I think I was on the 680 that day. And yeah, it was just. They sort of liken it to like a tree run. We always like talk about black diamond, blue, green. This is like a double black through the trees, like backwash, and yeah, just super fun. I think we all came down at least once, and then the Hawaii Kai run was epic too. It was a good one to sort of get a feel of the finish line, and that was something that I guess I've spoken to you, Josh, about, and it was, it's tricky. Don't get me wrong, but it's like. It's definitely something that's doable to get all the way into the finish, especially where they put the finish line for this year. Like, we thought it, well, I thought it might have been the windsock. I think a lot of the guys were training as if it was actually the beach at Kaimana, and it was about 100 meters, 150 meters outside the windsock. So the first run I did on Oahu, it was a pretty light day. It was hot. It was high tide and north winds. And it was flat from like Black Point, or not flat, but there was swells, but the wind was offshore. So I guess I sort of catch myself. It wasn't flat because there was still bumps running all the way in. For me, it was very much like a southwesterly day going into Palm Beach. For those that live in Sydney, that the swells still wrap in, and if you ride those swells, it's fine. But if you're relying on solely wind swell, you are in serious strife because the wind just like takes you out to sea. And that was a bit of a wake up call, like for me. That first run, I used the 770, and I got in, but it was hard work. Like I was seriously blowing to get all the way into the windsock. I think I actually put up on my YouTube, and like you can kind of see that was actually the run that we found out you weren't able to come to the country, QE. That was a bummer. That was like such a weird, like, yeah. But yeah, it was super hard, and I was blowing like serious heart rate, and cardio, and yeah, so like basically training was good. Like I managed to sort out all my foils, sort out all equipment, boards, paddles, all that sort of stuff, get a good understanding of where the run is, where the finish is, and yeah, I felt as prepared as I was last year, if not more prepared than I was last year. So I guess to put that in perspective shows how far the sport's come in a year. So yeah.
Yeah, were you coming over like with a bit of a chirp in your step because you had confidence coming in as the reigning champ, or were you kind of coming in thinking, have I done enough? I know you're fortunate enough to your job is foiling, like you teach people how to foil. So a lot of other people that in this race, they might have a normal 9 to 5 job. They don't get in the water as much as you. So I think you definitely have an advantage over some people because you've committed to a lifestyle like this. But yeah, how is your like confidence levels and like mentality? And even like, I know, did you come into this, were you having some little aches and pains that you were kind of maintaining or working on?
I never go to any fall race confident, especially just because I know it's progressing so fast. Last year, honestly, like people ask me, how do you think you go? And it was my first time ever racing Molokai till I won a foils. And I honestly, I said to people, like, if I get the top 10, top 20, like that's, I mean, like that's how many good foilers there are. And the way the racing eventuated last year or panned out last year, it was really quite like it suited the Aussies basically. It was lighter wins with the start and the finish the way it was. If you look at the results from Maui to Molokai, that was probably how I like it. I guess it panned out more similar to this year. So last year I was fourth and I was a fair way off the pace of Kane, Edo, Andrew for that race. Kai and I were pretty well. Even Kai was away a fair ways ahead of me in that race too, and I managed to get him on the like my skills factor in terms of like training or coaching as like as my profession. Like that helps the low wind skills. It doesn't help the high wind skills because when you're coaching, you're generally coaching people that aren't going fast. So you're doing a lot of paddle ups. You're using big foils. You're doing loops around people. You're doing Yeah, like it's low wind skills, which is something that I think Oscar and I really showcased last year. Whereas you look at Edo this year and last year, and he was had some serious high wind skills, fast bump skills. Same as Andrew, same as Kane. And yeah, so looking at the forecast for M2M, it was this year it was much lighter. And like I was chatting to the boys, and we're kind of rubbing our hands together because lighter winds are definitely more advantageous, I guess, for us because of the way we foil at home and the way that I train, and ended up being a pretty good channel, which was super fun. It's funny because I want, like, for competitive reasons, I'd prefer light winds, but for fun reasons, of course, I prefer strong winds. We all prefer strong winds. So, yeah, I went
Yeah, but
into it.
Hawaii light winds is our good winds, really.
Well, exactly, like light wind, like we need Hawaii no wind to be, seriously though, because like we do a lot of runs where it's like 10 knots and 10 knots Hawaiian is like still pretty good because of the fetch. So yeah, I was going in with an open mind. I was stoked to, be coming back as the reigning champ, and like I was super proud of that. To get the seed number one for M2O was pretty special. Had number one flag, number one sticker on my board, and that definitely wasn't lost on me. That was pretty cool. But realistically, after Palamua and M2M, like obviously, I didn't feel like number one seed.
Come on, mate. Number one, 30-year-old seed. That's the one. That's the one we're looking for. Okay. Well, yeah, let's run through like chronologically how it all went down. So Paddlemill was the first race in the trilogy, the Kawakai Triple Crown. How are the nerves like kind of first race, everyone's been looking forward to this all year. Were you kind of like, I think last year you had a few like knots in your stomach, don't you? Because I've never seen you nervous before. And you were kind of like, oh, my guts are a bit funny. Like, did the nerve get to you this year? Or were you kind of just like,
I honestly think last year I had a stomach bug because I literally felt so crook for like 2 or 3 days around that race, and I almost like I'd like the, I think I had the runs. Like it was something was weird, and I thought it was nerves, but I think it was like looking back, I unless maybe I was just super nervous, but I didn't even feel nervous. Palamua, yeah, of course I was nervous. Like we've all trained for this for the best part of a year. And Palamu was the first race, which, like, I love Palamu and I love the like what it stands for. But it's such a short race; it's such a sprint. And if you get a bad start, you're pretty much out of the race. If you get a good start, and you miss or you don't get a good like a good bump in that first couple kilometers, you're also pretty much out of the podium race. And this year it felt exactly that. I had a good start in that race. I used a 770R with a 120 tail, medium fuse. It was not super windy. Like it was windier than last year's, I think, but it was like, it's funny. The more I do Maliko runs, especially that inside line, the more it feels like kind of like a bay run or like a really like no swell ocean run. Because in summer in Hawaii, there's just like not really large swells. And the straightest line for that Palamua or the run to Kanaha is like sort of reef running. And with kind of those swells. Basically, we can foil faster than the swells are moving in summer. So it's a pump fest. It's was it 10, 12 Ks? And we did it in like 25 minutes. I did it in 25 minutes. Had a really good battle with Gage and Perth.
Oh
They were, we came into the roof pretty much together,
my
and I managed to
God.
get Perth, but didn't get Gage. So it was, I think, about seventh place there.
What was the start
And
like? Was it a bit of a rolling start, or some people cheating, or were like all the good guys kind of bunched up because you guys wanted to have a bit of like a gentleman's, you know, if we're all going to be in this, we have to kind of get up together.
was spread out. Like, I definitely think I was further out for that one, and the start was good for me anyway. I seeded start, everyone got a little bit toey. You know, it was a one, I think it was a 110, whatever, it was a 110 start, I think. But we started at like 107. So, because, and it, rightly so, I think the organizers did a good job with the start. The wingers went first at 105, I think it was. And all the subfloor was just like sort of the line just started rolling forward. Like it was, we probably started, I don't know, 500 meters down from the gulch. Like, rather, we all paddled out, and then like people just started standing up and paddling towards the start line, and other people stand up, and it's just like a bit of a rolling start. And you got to be like, you don't want to be first, but you want to be second, you know, in like the line, you want to jump the start. But yeah, I had a good start, and I think I spoke to you, Kiwi, but I was just so focused on trying to go fast that I wasn't being efficient, which you can kind of get away with for that race. But I was just running super low on the mast. I didn't feel like I ever got one really good bump where I could stand there and glide. And I think my heart rate was the highest for that race. Like, it was just such a, you just couldn't let up. And yeah, it feels like a while
What
ago
line
now.
did you take? Did you cut right and then try get onto those big swells, or did you just kind of just go straight and pump?
Because we started so far out, I'd set a run line, and I'd started the run line from like further out than I would normally start, but I was already at like double that. So I kind of
You're just
cut
looking for
in.
swells to hook onto.
Yeah, I sort of cut in, and I didn't really ever get a really good swell, but I had pretty good speed. And once I was inside, I just sort of was looking at my run line and just sort of followed that. But definitely an inside line, like reef running sort of style line. It was super inside, and then
Looking for
cut.
that Camp One racetrack speedway.
Yeah. I
Yeah.
came in pretty much at, or just after Camp One. Like there's like three sort of entrances to like to get into Kanaha. And when I the first last year I went the last, so around uppers and sort of cut across the swells. Edo took the first one last year. And then this year I took the first one because Gage took it and Perth went the second one. So I got Perth by taking an inside line at Kanaha. Perth just went and stayed out a little bit longer, then cut in, and the time that the distance he was, took going out for longer, was able to just get my nose in front. But yeah, it was just like, that's just like a, like such a sprint. It's 25 minutes, and I actually find it a really hard distance.
Is it a run up the beach this time, or was it at the buoy or something?
it was at the buoy, which was good, but the timing chips were on the beach. So it was really hard. Like, I feel from they were like they had like a video camera and spotters, and they were taking name like numbers, but they couldn't see numbers very well. So they ended up sort of for the results relying on the run up the beach. But they told everyone at the briefing that it wasn't a run up the beach and just walk across the line whenever you're ready. So some people, you know, it was a shame that the timing kind of was a bit of a bit stuffed up in all races. Because of that. And I'm not sure what the answer is, but maybe a run at the beach is the best thing. Or I don't
I
know.
love the run up the beach. I love it.
Yeah, I think a run at the beach is good. It's just a little bit dangerous, probably is the best way to put it.
That's
People,
why I like it.
I don't mind it either, because I think it's sort of part of it. That's something you can work, you can practice. But yeah, it wasn't a run at the beach this time. And I don't know. It was kind of a bummer. It wasn't because of the timing. They should have just said, it's not a run up the beach, but once you finish, stay in order and walk across the line, like in a line, so to speak, so that it's like orderly. But it was just like Perth kind of run up past me, and I was like, yeah, I beat you, you know, like sort of stuck my foot out to like tie with him
it.
on the timing, because I'm like, I'm sure the timing's going to come into it somewhere. And so Perth and I tied on the on that walk up the beach thing, but I beat him by, I don't know, maybe 10 seconds, super close. But yeah, that was fun. It was a good race, but it was, yeah, I would have loved for it to be like 30 knots or like less wind. It was just that funny in between where you can use fast foils, but you just have to pump the whole way. So it was one of the, so I guess the themes of this year's racing was that I think it's become too much of a point A to point B slugfest and just pump fest. And it like it's not why anyone gets into downwind foiling, it's the best way to put it. You know, if I want to work that hard in a race, to be honest, I probably would still be stand-up paddling. You know, if that's what I loved about the sport. But I guess we'll get into that more, but like sort of M2O. But it was fun. But it was more fun to see where you're at, not so much fun while you're doing it.
I was curious, how are the vibes in Maui this year? I remember last year, it was very much pillowcases over foils. Was it kind of similar vibe this year, like super secret shit going down, or was it kind of, I feel like you guys don't give a shit. Code just probably have their foils just lying anywhere. You can just grab them.
Yeah, code foils was like, we were writing production foils. I used like we didn't we had we'd done a few prototypes, but nothing was better than our R series from last year's race. So we in the top guys, I was probably using the oldest foil, which is pretty amazing. It's been 12 months, and that just shows that the development of foils are, it's coming along. The worst, pillowcase people were the Armstrong guys, as always. But they're doing it to
They
protect
love
their,
it, but
yeah, they're doing it to protect their
I feel like
retailers.
it's a marketing trick, isn't it? We
Yeah.
should just put pillowcases over our foils and just pretend we got a new foil section.
Yeah, fully. Look, I know they do it to protect their retailers, because if they really, if people see it and shops don't have it, then people aren't going to buy the old stuff. But also they're literally prototyping whilst they're there. So they're trying like four or five different foils whilst over there. So I get it, but maybe just don't be prototyping whilst the whole foiling world is there, if you don't want to have to deal with the pillowcases. The other guys, Jeffrey and Finn, they're the original pillowcase mafia. You know, they're like always, they've always had it since like 2018, So,
Well, that was, to be honest, that was a really rude awakening, and good on Duotone. Like, from last year where they really weren't in the running at all, to this year, like, Finn and Jeffrey absolutely smashing it. Like,
Yeah.
Duotone's got some special sauce going on now.
Oh, absolutely. And look, I think they just didn't have something special last year. I think Jeffrey and Finn are like serious athletes. They've been foiling for longer than anyone, like as long as Kai, downwind foiling. And, Kai's the marketing machine, but Jeffrey and Finn were like testing at the same time with Alex Aguero back in like 2016. They've grown up with foiling. And last year, it was, to be honest, it was more a surprise that they weren't in the mix last year than that they were in the mix this year. So I think Duotone definitely have got them on good foils, but they're just also not on bad foils, if that makes sense. They're because they're
Now,
hammers.
I was rooting for Finn at the end. I was rooting for all the boys, but like, I was just thinking about it. Like, Finn's so young, and last year he won the wing, and then I was like, holy shit, this year he's gonna win the SUP. Like, he's gonna be like, he needs to retire after that. And he's like, what, only 20 or something? I was like, holy shit, it's crazy.
No, I think everyone likes an underdog, and based on last year's result, Edo was more of a favorite and Finn was the underdog. So yeah, it was cool to see Finn do really well for sure.
So
Yeah,
I think
M2M,
there is
huh?
a few, maybe, well, I was just about to say, maybe we should start pillowcasing our foils, because I've seen there's a couple of foils that are looking very codish right now.
Yeah, I'm not gonna look.
I've even heard a brand say it is referring it to as a code number, and I was like, holy shit.
Yeah, it's that's a bit shocking, and I think people who know. I'm not gonna say it on here, but there's definitely like you can't stop it. Like that's what's always gonna happen. If you come up with a good design, then people are gonna copy it. I was chatting to Oscar, and he sort of mentioned that a few people have copied their foils too, and from Armstrong. And look, you got to take it as a compliment, and that you're doing something
Totally.
right. because there's everyone wants to be on the best gear, and if a brand can't come up with their own stuff and they feel they've got to copy other stuff to make their stuff in the mix, then yeah, that's a huge compliment. So the other thing is, I guess, for those that come up with the good designs, you just got to keep pushing. You can't just rest on rest on that one design. And Marcus has been working hard to try to better stuff since last year, and still working. So we'll see how that all goes. But I still felt
I
like.
think from looking at like the stats and how close everyone was this year, I think it was definitely a more even playing field this year. I think last year it was very much only a few brands had the right foils to get it done in a fast time, and other foils were just like nowhere near the pace. But I feel like this year it's more leveled out, and it's more relying now on the athlete versus the technology. I think it's still definitely a little bit technology, but like I think
Oh, it's yeah, I
yeah,
totally
it was
agree.
more, it
Yeah.
was, yeah.
I think that the foils are all in the, like, if you look at Edo, for example, who won Molokai Tuai, won pretty much every race pretty well. He was using the same foil as Jacko and Simeon, who were, hammers in their own right. And look, they didn't come sec. It wasn't first, second, third. There was a bunch of different foils in the top, 10 or even top 20. And it was I totally agree. I think last year Oscar and I had an advantage for the course and the foals that we chose for M2O. And this year, like, we didn't have that advantage anymore, and that's. And it's more just like a leveling out of everything, I believe.
Yeah, so let's change gears to M2M. That was how many days after the Paddle of Mill? Did you have some rest days in between or?
That was 4 days, I think. Yeah, 5 days, I guess. But four days of foiling or 4 days of resting, depending on how you're looking at it, between. And I think I had one rest day. But it's just like everyone's there and the conditions are good, so there's plenty of time on the water. And I guess in hindsight, maybe I needed to rest a bit more, but I wouldn't change anything. I felt like I had a good race for M2M. The forecast was pretty light. The Aussies, in particular, were super worried. Dave West used the 10.75R for the Pilelli, which is just like I don't know what he was thinking. Bennett decided not to use hand paddles because he didn't think he was going to get up. In hindsight, I think he wished he did. The conditions were more than hand paddleable, in my opinion. And seeing what he did in M2O as well, I think he could have done it. And Zane used the 130 Florence rather than the 110, and he could have used the 110. But I kind of got caught up in that. I actually, when we got there, and it was in the morning, it's always light. I actually had bolted on an 860R because it was looking pretty light, and then I sort of walked down and had a look at the ocean, 10 minutes after I'd seen it, and the wind picked up. And a friend of mine, Livio, sort of who's doing the wing, he was like, "It's gonna be good." He showed me like the local forecast, like the weather service forecast, and it was 15 to 20 knots, east northeast, which is a good direction. And he's like, "What are you using?" I'm like, "This." He's like, "Oh, maybe use something smaller." And it was a good tip. It was a good tip. So I threw on the 770, and like
I
I.
know exactly that guy's voice, hey. I know
Yeah,
exactly how
he's
he would
so
have said
funny. Yeah, he's like, oh,
it.
he's like, maybe you should use something smaller. Like, and I was like whatever. Like, he's
Planted
like,
the seed.
yeah, he was fully. He's like, what to use, but yeah, just like it was good. I was stoked. I was about to chat to him before the race because it was a good call. I don't think I would have been heaps slower on the 870. Sorry, 860 than the 770, but because I was on the 770, I could push that little bit harder.
Yeah, you would have
And
been maxing the 860 versus like still got a bit more room to move with the 770.
yeah, but for like, I guess,
Probably.
yeah, my top speed was only like 34 k's an hour, so like for the whole channel, and that's pretty slow. It was super groomed. So the eight, I feel like the 860, it could have worked, but I would have been slower. Tom Constant used the 860, and he didn't go too bad. But he wasn't ever in the race at the top. I guess on that race, like I had a good start, and I was right there with Finn and Jeffrey and Kane at the very beginning, and it was honestly amazing how much quicker they were going than me. I just could not keep with them.
Whoa.
They were just like pumping.
And what were, and do you know what they were riding? Like similar sized foils, or were they just like attacking the whole time
They were
nonstop?
just
No rest.
attacking. Like I was sort of sitting and gliding, and then like I rode a couple with Finn, and he just like just kept pumping up and over, and I'm like, man, I don't know if I can do that. Like, and I honestly think to be doing what they were doing, I had to be using a 680. I need to be using a smaller foil. So and working harder. I didn't feel like I was doing any, like I made no mistakes, but I just was
Did
losing
you guys
ground to
all
them.
take the same line this year? Like you kind of stayed close to is it Lanai and then not
Yeah,
cut into
I
Molokai?
followed Kane's line. And yeah, I was much wider than last year. I did a little bit more distance. I think I did like 45 Ks, whereas last year I did like 43. I think this year the inside line might have been better. If I'd gone the inside line, I probably would have used the 860, and it would have been probably about like less distance, but more like point to point speed. But on the outside line, I really wanted to maximize, like get the 770 up and humming. And I think the outside line was probably the best if you're using a faster foil. And in hindsight, I probably could have used like the 680 and just had to work super hard, but been probably quicker. And it's like, you ask about training, and like, with my coach Casey Club, I always tell people about like efficiency. There's a speed that you can go a little bit faster using a smaller foil, but you got to work like twice as hard. Using the 770, that was the foil that I would have trained for and would have used. It was perfect. But the 860 would have allowed me to go straight line and be more of an inside line. And it would have been sort of similar. I would have been able to maximize the speed on those inside bumps. But the 680 would have been maybe, I don't know, 30 seconds to 60 seconds faster, but I would have worked about 50 to 60% harder. So in terms of like the level that you need to be, I know now, I know that's what you got to do. But for like the race of M2O being in, 2 days' time, I'm pretty stoked I use the 770 and not the 680. So it was
Yeah,
super interesting.
I was watching the live feed switching between a few people's boats, and it definitely looked like the inside line was horrible.
Yeah.
Like you, like what you said, if you had a bigger foil and you could have just like worked your way through it, like maybe it would have been faster because it's a closer distance, but it looked freaking flat in there. Like
Yeah. Yeah,
even like
always.
the outside line that you guys were taking, it still looked pretty light towards the end. Like
Yeah.
I was surprised when I heard like all you guys were on such small foils and making your way through that section, because from watching like the iPhone videos, it didn't look super chopped out. Like it just looked. It didn't look like he was energy, to be honest.
No, it wasn't. And like I said, like my top speed was 34. I think the Maliko run at Palomar wasn't even windy, but my top speed was like 36, so, and those stats, well, I never really like top speed. It does tell you the energy that's on offer out there. And like at home, I'm often above 40 k's an hour, at my top. And averages, you can create a good average by working hard. And that's what all the top guys did. They were moving. It was super impressive. Yeah. So, yeah, it felt like I had a great line, like a fun line anyway. Like I had a super fun race, and that's something that
And that was a different finish to last year. Hey, you're on the marina side, right?
Yeah, that's a normal finish. So normally that's where we finish, but
Oh,
last
okay.
year they had like a dredger like in the way, so they finished on the other side. So yeah, it
Right.
was a longer pump to the finish.
It looked hard.
You know what? That was actually a much harder finish than M2O this year, like by a fair bit. Yeah, it was a lot further to pump. Like it was light from fairway, like probably a K out, and you had to pump all the way into the reef, and then it was like another like 200 or 300 meters pump. So it was like proper
And
flat water
wind there,
pump.
or was it, yeah, was it wind, or was it wind
Little
on your
bit,
back a little bit?
nah, a little bit offshore. If anything, it was super.
Yeah.
Didn't feel like any wind. It was super light.
It looked horrible. Like, yeah, because a lot of people came down there and I think got overtaken. Did you make it to the end?
Yeah, I did, and I managed to get Kane, same as I got Kai
Oh,
last year
good.
by like pumping past at
Nice.
the end. Which is, obviously, that's the benefit of using a larger foil, and 680, I wouldn't have got all the way in there, no way. But looking at the top guys, it didn't matter because if you go that much faster through the channel, you'll then be able to like make up, like if you come down for the like Edo, Jeffrey, Finn and Andrew all did not make it to the finish line on foil. They paddled like the last 10 to 50 to 100 meters, depending on who it was. And so when I saw that, I'm like, man, these guys they're pushing the limits of what they're able to use in the channel, and they're doing it because they get that extra 2 or 3 seconds per kilometer in the channel. And you do that over 40 kilometers, 45 kilometers, that's a lot. And they can manage, like they can sacrifice 10 to 20 seconds of paddling on their stomach at the end, which a bit of a wake up. Like that was the first, like paddle, you can't really tell much because it's such a short race. Whereas that one was like, when I watched Edo's replay, of his girlfriend did the live, and I was like sizes and all, it doesn't really tell much, but you can tell what size foils people are using when they have to pump upwind to the finish like that. And that was, I'm like, huh, they're using like a 680 or smaller, you know, size foil relative to the
That
code
was
range anyway.
I think out of all those people that you just mentioned, I think Kane got dealt the worst hand, because I think he was literally in that front pack, and then I don't know if I heard he had a cramp or something happened like
Yeah,
right
no, I
at the
spoke to him
end when he
after.
came.
Yeah, his back leg cramped up. And, you know, I think a lot of people experience that in M2O. And I'm not even sure if it's a cramp, but it's just like muscle fatigue. I think it comes from like lactic acid buildup. And like it just, the muscle spasms, which is cramp-like, but you know, normally people associate cramps with a lack of salt. And I don't think it's a lack of salt. I think it's just like we're working so hard that the muscles are giving out. Yeah. And Kane had that. He came down like he said it took him 10 minutes to paddle in. And yeah, he lost a lot of places for sure.
What did you get for that one?
I think I was 10th. I think I was bang on
Oh,
10th for that
lovely.
one. So it was kind of, I think I feel like I was pretty consistent. I think Paddlemoor, I guess, I had a good race. And then for the channel crossings, yeah, that longer distance sort of shows some people had better races, some people had worse races. And yeah. I was happy with that. Like I didn't feel like I didn't do anything wrong. I was just like, I honestly felt like I was off the pace from the first 5 kilometers because of the way that Jeffrey, Finn, Kane, Andrew and Edo just sort of flew past. I'm like, and it was foil choice, but also training. I hadn't trained that way. And they've stepped it up physically. They've kind of made it a running race instead of a surfing race, which is the way sport is.
Yeah, totally. So I guess the hardest
Yeah.
thing that I found
What? Yeah.
running into this
Definitely.
Triple Crown was
Yeah.
that the race was so bunched together. So
One.
you just finished this 45 kilometer race.
Definitely.
Now you're on Molokai and you've got a day in lieu, is it?
Yeah, one day. Yeah.
So what did you do? Did you literally just put your feet up and rest, or did you kind of be social, or did you kind of stick to yourself?
We were staying on the west side where I guess the race started last year, and on the day off is, you know, Mauro de Molokai, you know, they're a bit understaffed and they had, you know, a lot of foilers to sort of move around, and we ended up getting to our place pretty late, like 6 p.m. or something over on the west side. And I didn't even think we had dinner, you know. It was just like
Oh
we had
shit.
food and like the, you know, Marcus, Ben, Dan and Angie and all that, and Harry had to break up because, you know, there's only so many places in the shuttle, and to have like 6 people, 7 people in a shuttle is like the whole shuttle, and you can't really say that to, oh no, we're taking this shuttle. So we split up and decided two, 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 and two, and worked out that Marcus and Ben had the food that we had made for dinner, and they were the last on the shuttle. And the last shuttle, the trailer with all the gear got a flat tire. So they didn't get back to the place until like 9:30. So like
Oh
we had food
shit.
after the race at the like awards thing, and then I literally bought a bag of chips and some salsa, and that was my dinner after the race, which was
Oh
like
wow.
pretty ordinary. But that's, you know, that's just the way that the food bags ended up, which is a bummer because we had planned like a bunch of leftovers. And then the day between, I in the morning went for a swim, and walked around, and then I started like prepping like a good dinner, because we had all these veggies. I made like this big sort of like roasted all these veggies and made like a big pasta sort of mix. And I started cooking out, and then we had to go over the other side because the briefing was over the other
Oh,
side.
you guys brought food from Maui, like in prep for in case you didn't get food there or something. Yeah,
So I did a
clever.
cook up at the house over there, and then we went to the briefing over on Kanaku Kai, and I got the shuttle back. And it was pretty, for me, I actually kind of got lucky. I was there and back in like 2 hours, you know, so which was nice because you don't want to be out in the sun, before a race. You just want to try to, rest as much as you can, especially with the race happened the day before. So there and back, and then I sort of finished up dinner. Everyone got back, and we had Marcus and Ben and Craig and the guys came over, and we had dinner, and I think we were in bed by like 8:30, 9 o'clock. Had a good sleep, and
Was
it
it
was
Carmelo run that day? Did anyone do that or?
John Mann did it. I think he got the win.
Oh, epic.
The WA crew did it, like Donnie and Julian, and John said it was super fun. It was definitely windier for that day than it was the M2M run,
Nice.
and I think that was a good
What a
turnout.
beast taking on the run in between the two big runs.
Yeah,
Jeez.
he said he just surfed, but I think he surfed the first bit, then sort of raced the last bit. But yeah, he was there to enjoy it. It was cool, but not many
Yeah.
other
Oh,
people
good
did.
on him.
Yeah, I was keen to actually just use like a big foil and just cruise it, just sort of get the legs working. But we had to leave our place at like 9 in the morning, and then the race didn't start till 1, and then the briefing was at
That would have been a
3.
big day.
Just a big day in the sun, so I was like,
Yeah.
oh, I want to, but yeah, if I was staying at Kanaka Kai, I probably would have been more likely to do it because I could have finished the race and sort of had a shower and had a good out of the sun and could have cruised in the morning. But staying on the west side wasn't so good for the logistics.
So how was that sleep? I remember last year I had a pretty awful sleep. Even though I had really good accommodation, I think the nerves were just running through me.
I slept well. Actually, the night after M2M, I didn't because the fan I had, like you have like a summer setting where it like blows wind, and then a winter setting where it like sucks wind. Dude, my fan was on the winter setting, and it was just like spinning so loud, but it wasn't pushing any air. I'm like, what the hell's going on? I like got up in the middle of the night and was like trying to sort it out, but I didn't want to wake everyone up, and I just left it. Ended up falling asleep and like sweating, and so. But I slept well both nights. I didn't sleep. People would say I slept like a baby. I didn't sleep like a baby. I slept better than a baby. I wasn't waking up every couple of hours, and yeah, I slept well.
Nice. So was it kind of windy this year? Was how's the conditions?
Yeah, M2O was far out. The first 30Ks was so quick. I used the 680R, and I was using it kind of regardless of the conditions because I was couldn't keep up with the boys in M2M. So I just sort of went all in. I'm like, I'm using a smaller foil and see how we go. And the start was, could have used smaller. Honestly, it was the first 30Ks. I was averaging like 30, like multiple sub twos. If it wasn't sub two, it was like just over like 205, 206 kind of thing.
How was that new start? Was it just it's easy, like it's straight in the bumps?
So easy. M2O was a better race than M2M. Like it was
Yeah,
windier,
right.
the bumps were better. The first 30Ks was nuts. Bit of a light spot. Like it's like the wind kind of died, or the current hit it, or something happened. It got real weird. The sort of the swells were still running, but it was glassy, and a lot of the wingers had a hard time actually. The wingers were much closer to our times this year because of that, I think. And then the Hawaii Kai run is good, like from long way outside Hawaii Kai, but the bumps are really nice. It was nice and east, and the bumps all the way to the finish. To be honest, I think it was
Wasn't much quartering. It was just going downwind.
seriously no quartering. Like it was a straight downwind shootout. It was just like a few guys
Wow.
seemed to go a little bit too far north, even like they sort of went into China All and then did the Hawaii Kai run, whereas I was further south than a lot of the guys around me for most of the race, and they sort of came down to me towards Hawaii Kai. I could have gone further south, like to get to like Diamond Head, but I was just hanging on at that point. My legs kind of started cramping up just about 40 k's in. So the last 20 k's was like, instead of pumping, I had to use the paddle to sort of pump. My legs just weren't working, and I felt real unco. like just couldn't get my feet in the right spot, and it's coinciding with the sort of lighter section, and it just meant I couldn't. I was doing from doing like low twos to like 220s, just sort of, and on the
Do you reckon?
680, it's like 220, 230 is like, that's getting pretty close to, like, you're working hard to keep
Cool.
it up. Yeah.
Do you reckon that has something to do with the maybe what you were eating or just
It
like
was,
a
I was pushing hard.
multiplying
I was
of
just,
or you were just pushing hard? There's
just pushing. I was just like, I
no
was, it
question.
was the first race that I was actually in the mix of the top five. So, I was next to Jeffrey for a lot of the race. Kane, I could see not too far in front of me. And yeah, I was having, I was more competitive. I was in the mix. And when you're in the mix, you push harder. So, my boat captain was egging me on to Andrew's a legend. And he was like, at some points, so I was catching the guys at the front, other times I was holding, sometimes losing, obviously. But, it was the first, it was the closest I felt to being in that top five group for the whole week of racing, I guess. So, that was why my legs gave up. Nothing to do with Maori Molokai before, nothing to do with nutrition. I just felt like it was training, so I had to be doing more of that, pushing as hard as I was, in training, and maybe some gym work to get the legs stronger. And yeah, it's just become a, it's become a, like a proper sport now rather than like a, surfing downwind event.
So how, when you say pushing and that you need to train for it a bit more, give us like an idea. You were pushing, you said, for 30 Ks really hard before you gave out. Is that
Yeah,
an
35,
hour of
40.
going red line?
It wasn't red line because the bumps are pretty good, but it just like when you were on a good bump, you had to sort of like really lean forward and hold it down. And then when you, when that bump disappeared, it was just like pumping to try to link the next bump in front, or a little bit to your right, or a little bit to the left to get around that big peak in front of you. So it was pushing, like you're working to get speed, you're holding the speed. And that's when I was resting, like when I had the speed. And then when I lost the bump, or
The glide,
the
yeah.
push, I had to pump to hold the glide and hold the speed for as long as I could, which for M2M I wasn't doing. I was able to stand there, and you couldn't, because the bumps are closer together for M2M, you kind of sort of surf a little bit in between, and you're better off traversing than you are up and overing, because the bumps are shorter and not steeper, but they're like shorter. So to go up and over is, I found, much harder on the 770, whereas the 680, once I had speed, I could really push.
Right. So were you thinking that it's more the pressure on your the feet coming back through that the lift through the board, or do you think it's because your heart rate's at like what 180 for 50 minutes?
No, I wasn't at 180 for 50 minutes, but I was like 140 to 160 kind of thing. So like that's working. And yeah, it was just the, yeah, it's the heart rate, but then also like just that pressure through the legs. I had it like my, like if on my right kneecap, just to the right of my right kneecap. So like, I guess it's like your, I'm not sure, I'm not that good with the muscle groups, but it's like your quad almost. Your quad was cramping up. It was up sort of along to your, towards your ITB band. That sort of muscle there was feeling it. It was locking up basically. It was not happy with me.
Do you have an opinion on the I like you probably didn't see it because you're in the mix with the top five, but it was crazy the support boat lineup, what happened, because you
Yeah.
know everyone had a filmer on their boat and they really wanted to be with their rider the whole way. And I know there was probably like a safety briefing of you can't
Yeah, I think it was 15
get in
minutes
there.
was the, or 10 to 15 minutes was the plan at the briefing. But yeah, all the boats got there super early. I didn't have the, I probably had the worst start in all the races for M2O, and it was just because I was at the wrong end of the line and there was no horn, it was just a flag. And I got up, I was probably still in the top 20, maybe top 15, but there were 10 to 15 people in front of me, and I was like, this is bad, because I knew from even M2M, one or two boats can really muck you up. And if there's 10 to 15 boats in front of you, man, you're in big trouble. Like that's gonna affect your line, your rhythm, all the above. So I made a real conscious effort. I started in the north side of the line, but I, because I didn't have the best start, I actually cut down far south of everyone and got my own clean water. And that was, I'm so glad I did that because of all the stories of everyone getting sort of messed up. Perth started near me too, but he went north to get away from the boat wash. And yeah, I think that, yeah, everyone's got a story of like, it was crazy. Just the turbulent water of a boat that went by, like even 2 minutes or a minute ago, there was like a few people talked about, but there's like an air pocket gets stuck on your foil, even though you haven't breached, but the turbulent water going at the speeds we were going at the beginning created like, it felt like a plastic bag on your foil, and you had to like sort of like pump it hard or turn a little bit to get that air pocket off. And that was just the turbulent water, but you add in the boat washers as well. Kind of, you can use one or two to your advantage, but 5, 6, 7, 10, it just becomes a complete washing machine. They're gonna have to change that because it was dangerous. It was dangerous. The water, the people coming down, that number of boats in such a small area, it's gonna make, yeah, the race different. And I think they're probably gonna have to have everyone pays an extra 500, 700 bucks. And that goes towards safety.
Yeah, I reckon it looked honestly extremely dangerous. Especially coming off the back of poor Zane Schweitzer, who just was in a boat accident. Like, when I seen that firsthand through all the live feeds, I was like, this is a fucking joke. Like, this is absolutely, someone could die. Like, someone honestly could die because, you know what, there was a hundred over 100 races. Everyone's got a boat. Everyone doesn't know who their boat captain is. They could be some drunk fisherman that's just, keen to collect the money on the day. And like, they don't know how to escort. They could just run someone over easily. Like,
It
it could
was
be really detrimental.
a lot of discussion of that after, and I think, yeah, they're gonna have to change it. And then I think the event organizers are open to changing it. They did it with the wingers this year. They had was optional escorts, and they had EPIRBs and radios, and it's doable. Especially, it's a 2 to 4 hour race now, whereas for the prone and SUP, it's a 4 to 8 hour race. It's double.
I
It's
just,
double.
I honestly just, I just, I don't understand why there's just not 50 boats and a boat at every kilometer. They're not moving.
Yeah, seriously, that'd be way
Cheap,
better. Yeah.
cheap. It's cheaper than everyone getting their own boat. The boats aren't moving.
Yeah.
If they do move, they're just idling a little bit forward or back.
I
Like they're
think
not like starting up their engine and.
that'll be the like they'll organize it and they'll figure it out. But I think honestly you need like a one lead boat just so you've got that, because that can be your media. And then you should have boats, like 10 boats to the north, 10 boats to the south, and like 10 sweeping boats. And that's what's at like 30. You get less than 30 boats and it'd be safer, because the reason you can't have like one boat every kilometer is because the field is stretched
They
out
move.
like 2, 3 kilometers wide,
Oh, okay.
So I think north, south, and then like at the rear and at the front, and that's, you're pretty much covered, I think.
So, you made it all the way to the end. You didn't come off foil, even though
Nah.
you were hurting.
Yeah.
Good man.
I really had to back off the pace. So yeah, I was bummed because I was feeling good up until
That
I wasn't.
must have mentally hurt, hey?
It was not so much like, it was just, I just got to survive, and knowing how the finish can be, I was like, I got to pump the brakes a little
Long
here and
game.
just survive. Looking at my stats, I was actually surprised I didn't, like, I felt like I was going so slow for so long, and I was still doing a few 215s, 210s even, when I was like holding on. But yeah, I managed to get my heart rate down in the last sort of 5 to 10 Ks. I got back to did like a 206 or something, coming in on the Hawaii Kai run. So I feel like I
Nice.
recovered pretty well, didn't lose too many places. Had a good battle with Guido and one of the twins from Tahiti. They got me, but it was kind of, I felt like I was in that race for, within that little thing. And I felt good. It was cool to come in the finish. I To me, it was too easy. Like, as a world championship, the way I know Molokai to Oahu, it was like that was a like better than some M2Os I've done, you know? So it's like M2Ms married to Molokais that I've done. It was easier, it was longer, but it was like the bumps were better. So, you know, I think it's really good for majority of riders, but I think for advanced riders, as everyone's skill set gets more, like I talked about at the beginning, how like I've got an advantage at low end foiling because of the coaching I do. High end foiling, you know, it's a different skill set, and you know, Edo is leading that. But it's not fun. Like I spoke to Edo after the race, and he's like, "Man, I said that was fun." He's like, "Dude, I didn't have any fun. That was just work. That was like going for a run and just pushing as hard as you can for 2 hours." And I was like, "Man, that sucks. Is that where we're getting? I said to him, "Is that where we're heading? Is that where the sport's going?" He's like, "Yeah, I won't be doing that for another like 3, 4 months. I just want to enjoy my foiling for the next little bit. But next year, I'm going to be training, you know, 7 days a week, gym, and 7 days a week downwind foiling." And I'm like, I was kind of bummed, you know, like, you know, no one gets into downwind foiling just to pump, basically flat water pump, essentially, same sort of cardio for 2 hours. And it was kind of like, I don't know if we need bigger conditions, if we need to go further distance, whether we need to change up the course for the top guys to make it like more interesting, maybe. But yeah, I don't know. I think obviously it's a sport, and you know, physical is important. But I was even ch chatting to like Jacko and Fiona after M2M, and they were just saying like you can actually rest more on a stand-up paddleboard than you can on a foil now if you're in the top 20. On a stand-up paddleboard, you can't go fast on the bump. So if you get on a bump, you get to rest and you can get to surf the bump. Whereas in a foil, if you're getting a good bump, you got to keep pumping and go over to the next one. So it's like, it's for me personally, I appreciate the physical, you know, and props to the guys that smoked me. But it's like, I'm not even sure I want to be doing that. You know, I'm not even sure it's a sport that I want to continue to push the way it currently is to be in that top echelon. And I think there's ways to change it. And honestly, the flat water start and the flat water finish last year was one way to change it. That the guys who were using tiny foils couldn't get up. And they took the risk and they get up in the middle, but then they couldn't get up at the end. So it's like it makes it a little more interesting and a little bit more tactical. I was chatting to a few people after the race, and even if you had like put a few, and I think we should try it for some races at home, Cooey, but I think if you put a few markers and you got to traverse out. And then you got to traverse across to another point. You got to traverse another point and basically weed out the tiny foils that you have to pump the whole time and make it too hard that you can use those foils. And you actually have to use something that can glide a little. And you have sections of the course that are really hard cuts, and you have section of the course that's just straight downwind, but you mix it up. Even like something as simple as putting like a section in the middle of the course where you have to pump upwind. Like 500 or 200 meters, you know, like charity loop style, you know. And if you're using a tiny foil, you can still use a tiny foil, but you have to paddle in your stomach to get up to that, you know, upwind mark. Or if you use a big foil, you can pump upwind and continue the glide. And it's just going to make it, it's just, I'm just trying to think of ways to make, keep the fun. And I don't want this to come across as like me being salty because I didn't win. It's definitely not that. It's just like, how do
No, trust me, I understand, and it was like super interesting because like my partner Barrett was watching all the live feeds with me because it's exciting to watch, but you know we were watching Edo's feed, and I was like, okay, watch this guy. He's literally squatting for 2 hours, and then we switched to I think we're watching like Dan Juling's one, and he's like surfing, and I was like, that's how you normally downwind. Like what Edo's doing is not what anyone does. Like
So,
maybe only like a few guys in the world do it. And I was just like, that is like physically the most amazing thing ever
super
because like,
impressive.
you know, no one can even fathom doing that. But then like, you know, hearing from your firsthand experience of you chatting to him, how he said that was awful. Like I didn't enjoy that. But you know, props to being able to do that because that's a full that's Olympic status right there.
100%, 100%, and that's why I'm like, I want to be careful how I come across here, but it's like we need it to be like for the reason the sport's grown so fast is because it is fun, and if it becomes that, you're going to lose a lot of people, and you're not going to get 100 people entering because they're just going to want to surf downwind, and they're not going to want to do that sort of stuff. So it's I think there's ways that we can, like, the king of the cut back a couple of years ago, like, sort of, the king of the cut wouldn't let us do the run, and we just sort of said, oh, let's just surf. And that was like it wasn't a race, it was just fun, but it was like that concept. How do we make that concept achievable for a race to organize? And like Garmins and Apple Watches and GPSs, it's a bit fiddly, and it can, like, we even saw timing, point A to point B was hard enough. But if we just add a few marks that we make it a little more technical for those that are advanced, and keep the straight downwind for the, beginner to intermediate downwind foilers, then you kind of, you're opening up to everyone, and it's, I'm hoping you can make it fun for everyone. And that's, I don't expect the Hawaiian races to change it, because I totally think they, what the product they delivered was good. The timing was a mess up, and it sort of ruined a bit of the, the sense of achievement for some. But it was like, they did a good job this year. They had a lot more people coming, entering, and it was a super fun, it was a super fun 2 weeks. It was epic. And I'm spewing you couldn't make it, Kuik.
Oh mate, it was heartbreaking. But
Yeah.
I've got my I got my backup plan. I'm up in Cairns at the moment, got a race on tomorrow. So I'm using that fire in my belly to try and smoke all these frickin'
Yeah, I'd be scared if I was them.
downwinders up
Tell you what.
here. I'm coming in hot, don't worry
Yeah,
about
yeah. I'm
that.
just double checking with my just double checking with my
JB's
flight.
already trying to wig me out.
Yeah,
Nah, JB's been great. He's been such a good representative. He's, getting involved with all the race pre-meetings and stuff. And good to have someone like that that's really pushing the representation of the sport. And yeah, I think we got like 13 races up here, so
awesome. Yeah.
it should be a good little race.
Yeah.
But yeah, back onto your thing. How is it gonna play out next year? Like, surely it's gonna, it was 100 people this year. Last year it was 50. Next year is it 200, or do they start capping it and like making it, only if you've been in it before you can go again, or you need to show like race stats or.
Yeah, and I think when I first started doing Molokai to Oahu, you couldn't just enter. You had to qualify. And I think that's what it's going to be. They're probably not able to make more, like, allow to have more people in the race. Like, 150 is probably the absolute max. And, well, there are 130 this year. So they could easily get 200, I believe, next year if it keeps growing the way it is. But they're going to have to max it, like, cap it because of the logistics and or safety and that sort of stuff. So I think it's, I think it's good, and it's good that the demand is back for M2O, because when I first started, it was like that. When I, 2019, it was less so. But yeah, no, it's, I think training wise, I'm gonna do stuff different. I'm gonna, try to match Edo, see what I can do. But I think it's gonna be, I'm super excited to be part of the sport as it is now. Honestly, it's epic. It feels like a sport this year. Last year it did too, but man, it stepped up. And, like, I'm honestly proud to come 11th. It's a serious field of contenders, and I think I must have been, like, in the top 10 in the Kauakai overall. And I created my dad division and the over 30s division and the Aussie division, and I was stoked to, look, I had a real good battle with Perth and Oscar in all races. Not that I knew they were there, but they were behind me the whole way. And Oscar was literally taking the same line as me, and Perth was too. So it was, yeah, it was good. It was fun. But us, we got a.
I'm super stoked for you. Hey, like I was really, I was following probably as much as anyone could. I was just watching everyone's feed and trying to get as much of my skin in the game while I was back in Australia. But like I was rooting for all you boys big time. And yeah, it was cool when I seen you guys all come in together and yeah, and how well you did in all the races. Like you're all kind of neck and neck in all the races, and it's just I think at the end of the day, like the way that I kind of evaluated it was that, these guys have the advantage because they're there, they can
Yeah.
train it, they're doing these runs all the time,
Yeah.
and like, obviously they're a lot long, they're a lot younger than us, so that's an advantage. I'm not saying that that is like, why they won. Like they won because they've just trained harder and they did better, and good
Yeah.
on them. But like, it's yeah, it's turning, the heat's turning up, which is great, and I
Yeah.
love it. Like
And it's definitely
I
fueled
just
the
hope
fire
that,
in our bellies. The
yeah, I
Aussies are
just
keen.
really hope that the whole it turns into a circuit. Like I really hope the Europe thing becomes a thing. I hope there's a thing in Australia, because I think this could really Yeah. Go into the stratosphere of what it like. There's money in it. There's people who want to do it. And
The
people who want to
potential's
watch it.
there.
Like
Yeah,
it's
the
just,
potential's there for
yeah.
sure.
It's.
And yeah, I think we're at a really cool place right now that we can kind of create where it can go. And I think, like, I don't want it to be this thing that, like, to me, wing racing downwind isn't what everyone's doing winging. Like, most people are free winging downwind, and the wing is for M12, it is sailing downwind. And downwind falling is becoming like the wing, downwind fall racing is becoming like wing racing, where it's not what the majority are doing, and it makes us disconnect. And that's unhealthy, I think, for the sport. So if we can put a few things in place that can keep the fun aspect of it, I think it's just going to allow it to grow further. And yeah, I've actually got to go
I think
because
it's
my flight's
important.
about to go. But
Oh, okay. Sweet.
just
No,
wrap
but just
up. Yeah.
last little thing. I think it's super important to listen to the uncles like yourself who have seen it happen in the past, like with the stuffing.
Yeah.
That like, a lot of young people are like, nah, this is where it's at. Like, I think it's important to listen to, the Dave Kalamas, the James Caseys who have been through this cycle before through SUP and stuff. And you're trying to, we're in something good right now, and to not let it get taken where it usually gets taken for us to steer the boat. So good on
Yeah.
you, and super stoked with your achievement this year. Like, did so well. Team Code, Codium.
It was a Codium 40 to 49. Craig,
lovely.
Ben, and Romana were sick.
Epic. Well, safe travel home. Thanks for your time. I'm sure everyone will be stoked to listen to this, and I'll see you when
I'll
you get back.
have to do a debrief of Cairns when I get back as well. Looking forward to it all and see
Yeah,
how it
mate.
goes, and good luck.
Sounds good.
Catch
See you,
ya,
mate.
running to my flight. Bye.